Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster with the entire gang once again reunited with Mac McIntyre back from vacation.
I can do.
Daryl Loomis, who we spoke to last week, but not the week before.
Hello.
Right? You weren't on the week before, were you?
No, it was 2 weeks ago.
That's right.
Week before we did the filibuster or the
lightning round? Yes.
Yeah, the ambush lightning round.
And then Eric Esslinger back from his whatever flyabout or whatnot. Or a business trip, actually, we just went, right?
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. Nice. You set this up. So you've set us all up as though we're one of those word puzzles that you have to figure out, like, who lives next to who. Mac was here last week, and sure. Eric hasn't been here for 2 weeks.
Right. Well, those SAT questions that I always flunked, for sure.
So, one of those, yeah.
So we're here. So we're going to kill some time for you guys. So let's get right to it. Mac, you can update us on what you've been up to this last week or so.
Let's see what I've been up to. Well, I saw Riddick.
Oh, do tell.
It's not bad.
So rank it. Give me the ranking, Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, and Riddick.
Well, I haven't seen the previous two in quite a while, so my memories are a little hazy. But let's see. I would probably say Pitch Black would be best because it was kind of the freshest and kind of it had the most going on, kind of the most exciting. I would probably put Riddick in second, and just because it was kind of back to basics. It had some really fun scenes. Like, it's often described as Conan the Barbarian in space, and I think that was they really nailed that with Riddick. And Chronicles of Riddick, it had its moments, but it was this baffling movie. It kind of went overboard with the world building and just added so much craziness.
That's true. It was tough to try.
And I never saw the cartoon, so I can't comment on the cartoon.
Did you play the video game?
I did not.
That's not a terrible game, actually.
Yeah, so. That's what I heard. It was good. Yeah. But, the Riddick movie's pretty good. It's really back to basics. So Riddick is stranded on a planet, and he has to fight to survive. And then a bunch of tough guys come down from space because they're hunting him. And it's a question of, like, who can out-tough who? Is Riddick tougher than the mercenaries? Are the mercenaries tougher than Riddick? And everybody's tough. And it's all about tough guys being tough and doing tough things.
So. Just like this podcast.
Exactly. I don't remember. It's been a long time. I really liked Pitch Black, but it's been too long for me to remember. Was there an actual mythology behind Riddick?
No.
Or was he just a dumb criminal?
He was just a criminal. Pitch Black is pretty great, I think. It's just a mean creature movie.
He had been experimented on so he could see in the dark.
Yes, that's
that
true.
That was his big thing.
But, I mean, it was nowhere near the goofy – mythology they built for him in Chronicles.
And then Chronicles of Riddick, he became the chosen one.
And it was PG-13, so it was like kind of toothless. But Pitch Black had some great surprises, some good stuff. People were dying that you weren't expecting to die. I mean, that really was like pre-Triple X Vin Diesel, right? You know, pre-Vin Diesel when he thought he was so awesome. So, yeah. But I heard Riddick kind of returns to that.
Yeah. It's not a reboot. It keeps all this stuff in continuity. So we begin where Chronicles of Riddick left off, and it maintains continuity, which is good because if they want to go back into craziness in future movies, they can. And it definitely sets up the character for more adventures. That's probably not a spoiler to say that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. And I'll say this about the movie. There are a lot of shots of Vin Diesel slowly reaching up and either – lifting the goggles up off of his eyes or bringing the goggles down onto his eyes. That shot is repeated over and over so many times in the movie. He must think he looks so cool doing that.
That's a hell of a motif.
Yes.
So compare Vin Diesel movies, Fast and Furious 6 versus Riddick.
That's hard to say because Fast and Furious 6 is so over the top and it's so just completely crazy.
Yes.
Whereas Riddick is more low-key. The first half of the movie, it's just him alone on the planet, like, trying to survive. It's like, you know, man against the wilderness. And it's all very, like, quiet and atmospheric. So Fast and Furious is not quiet and atmospheric.
Yeah.
Where does the pacifier fit into this?
The pacifier.
It fits in – slots in real well to
– You know what? I didn't realize he was in Boiler Room.
Yeah, he's good in Boiler Room.
Yeah, I forgot completely about that. That's got a bunch of dudes I hate in it.
All right, well,
too.
Pick up that thread of negativity, Daryl, and you go next.
Well, I had My big thing was I got as of Saturday, completely caught up on Breaking Bad, and I won't spoil anything for you, Dave.
Thanks. It sucks being on Facebook during all this stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. Yo, it was for me, too. That's why I finally decided to actually sit down and marathon it so that when these last few weeks come around, I'm not screwed up about it.
For some reason, I'm subscribed to Entertainment Weekly's Facebook updates. I'm too lazy to unsubscribe.
For some reason.
But it's constantly Breaking Bad stuff. It's so fun.
Oh, yeah.
See you later.
What I will say is,
if you have AMC, I think they're running the entire series ahead of the finale.
Starting today.
Oh, really?
Is it today? Oh, okay.
No way.
Now, I've got, between the streaming, and I definitely have the first two seasons unwrapped still in Blu-ray. So, but continue.
No, all I'm going to say is, obviously, the quality of the show is so strong that I've really never been so excited for a final episode.
Oh, wow.
I'm also completely dreading it.
Even with the Wings finale?
Wings finale was rad, and, I was thinking back, and the last episode of Just the Ten of Us, specifically a FET finale, is a really sick episode.
That's true. With, eight of them, pass away from terminal diseases, and slow motions made out, just the two of us written in blood. Yeah, that was jarring.
And
it was a jarring tonal difference.
At the end, it's the little girl and the Growing Pains coach dad sitting across the table from each other just cackling.
Yeah, it was an odd choice.
For a comedy, but that was, I found that brave when I was like 11 years old.
Still not as weird as the unaired Perfect Strangers finale.
No, they couldn't air that.
Yeah, too hot for TV.
Hot for TV. Balky went nuts. There were two stewardesses in that show.
That's right.
So the finale was kind of obvious, but they apparently showed so much that,
forever known as Perfect Strangers, I think. okay. But, don't talk about Breaking Bad anymore.
Okay.
Anyway,
go on.
You're done. Eric, go.
Okay. Breaking Bad is not Breaking Bad. it's almost October, which means it's almost time for people to watch scary movies.
Yes.
Month is upon us, and I've actually seen a few kind of leading up. This is sort of, I guess, not the kids call it, pregame or whatever they call it. And the kids, when they drink ahead of time. Don't drink,
right.
Kids, but they do this thing. Anyway, so a few weeks back, I went to the theater, and I saw The Conjuring. It finally came around to the local theater, and I'm glad I got a chance to go. I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. There's definitely been a trend recently of horror movies that are kind of in a basic style or paying homage to a lot of 70s horror movies, and this is in that vein, part Amityville horror, part Exorcist, part a lot of other stuff. Very spooky, very scary. I think James Wan does a great job of building the tension, and just has his really. I jumped several times. I was legitimately scared a few times. I think it pays off well.
Nice.
And
super busy right now.
Yeah.
With that, Insidious 2 and Fast and the Furious filming.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I want to definitely this coming month. I want to catch up on Insidious, and I guess I'll probably check out Dead Silence too, because I never saw that. And then I also saw The Lords of Salem.
Yeah,
for the first time, Rob Zombie. I liked it a lot. I know that there are some people who didn't. It gets pretty kind of out there and sort of abstract. It's not necessarily clear what happens at the end, but I think it has a really cool tone, and kind of like The Conjuring. It's interesting because I watched those pretty close to each other, and they're about very different things, but at the same time, they both have what I assume has to be a purposeful sort of throwback, out of date idea about what like ritual cults and Satanism and all this stuff.
And toxic waste
is like, yeah, almost. It has that. It has that like 80s,
right.
Kind of 80s like fear of satanic cult vibe, which works in these movies because they are kind of a throwback in a way. And it was interesting because I actually. I watched Lords of Salem, and I actually got the novelization out of the library because I read something about it online saying that, you know, it's good. It clears up some stuff in the movie, and I just happened to see it, and it was only a few hundred pages, so I got to burn through it. And it was kind of interesting. I haven't read
Lords of Salem.
Apparently,
you're a go-to expert on Lords of Salem.
I could probably answer your questions if you have any.
I appreciate that. Yeah,
for all. But it's kind of fascinating.
The first question is, how come I forgot it was ever released?
So that's okay, well, that's it. It came out a while ago, Dave. That's probably the number one. You may not be a Rob Zombie fan. I'm not
a Halloween remake. I'm not.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge Rob Zombie fan either. I did not like the Halloween remake. But this is very different than that. It's got some Rob Zombiness in it, but it's own thing. It's cool. If you have a chance, if anyone hasn't seen it and you're at all interested, check it out this October. And then finally, one more, because I just watched it today, and it's not a recommendation, but Netflix got Room 237, which is I guess it's supposed to be a documentary about people's crazy theories about what Stanley Kubrick was really trying to say in The Shining.
The theories are crazy.
The theories are crazy, and there's absolutely no context or filter. It's not like someone presents it as, this is a documentary, and there's people who have this idea about The Shining, and this is what those people are like, and this is, you know, what Kubrick was really saying, and here's some contrary evidence. It's just like, here's voiceovers from nine insane people telling you why The Shining is really about how Kubrick faked the moon landing.
That's
or
the best. I love telling people that story.
It's crazy, and it's tragic because, you know, they just kind of let these people go. And, you know, these are people who are very, very convinced that they're right. And they've just, you know, same people who, you know, think Paul McCartney is dead because, you know, you play the Beatles records backwards and you hear, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's just like without any kind of filter or context, it's just here is just what these people have to say. You never even see the people. It's just like their voices over like footage from the movie.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on. It was,
One segment that I did appreciate, that I did find interesting, was the one about the architecture of the hotel.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely, you know, Kubrick is a very methodical filmmaker, and I'm sure he had some ideas about, you know, what he was trying to do with the movie, but no one ever kind of came close to just a very, you know, a reasonable explanation for it. It was like the number 42 is everywhere because the Nazis, you know, started killing Jews in 1942, so the movie's about that or something, you know.
Right.
It goes on too long. It just is not very well done. So I don't recommend it.
All right.
I recommend it with the caveat that it's not very good, but the story about the faked moon landing is hilarious.
Okay, that's fair. And it's on Netflix, so, you know,
yeah.
there's an awful lot of caveats for recommendation.
And if that theory is hilarious to you, if you look up the guy who's talking about it, if you just look up his name, you can find him writing thousands and thousands and thousands of words about this subject. He is obsessed. And he's the only person on Earth talking about it. So clearly he's the one who's right. Because Danny wears an Apollo 13 or an Apollo 12 or whatever sweater at one point.
11, yeah, right. Yeah, right. And he changed it to room 237 because the moon is 237 miles from Earth. And room 237 wow. is the room in Hollywood where they filmed the moon landing. And if you look, room N number – if you rearrange the letters, it becomes the moon room, and because that's the room where they shot. That is okay. But a taste of the hour and 33 minutes that is room 237.
Okay, we're done.
Yes, that's hilarious. Anyway.
Yes, okay. So I will real quick run through my fall TV review, and that is some total of two programs. One is Sleepy Hollow, which I've only seen the premiere. We have the second episode on DVR. I liked the first one. It was pretty ridiculous and great, but it's different, and it's dripping with crazy mythology, and I hope it lasts. It got pretty good reviews, though. I mean, I got good reviews, and I got a good viewership as well, so we'll see how that stands. So
I'm getting a lot of good word of mouth.
Yeah, so I don't know.
You've got to see the Sleepy Hollow show. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, and it's I read a reviewer who said he's not sure if it's bad or not, but it is definitely entertaining worth watching. So I'll stick with that, and I did really get a kick out of that. And then Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I laughed pretty heartily in the first episode, not as much in the second. And the problem is a lot of even though our beloved Joe Latrullo is in that, a lot of the side characters just aren't really I don't feel like they're lifting their weight. It's pretty much all on Andy Samberg, who I think is funny in this, but I don't know if he's enough. So we'll see. I keep my eye on that one.
Yeah, I watched the premiere as well, and I thought it was perfectly serviceable, but it wasn't quite as great as I hoped.
Yeah, I mean, like it really was like the Samberg stuff that I was laughing at more than anything else. Yeah, so I'm rooting for it because he is funny, so sure. I'd love to see him do a cameo in Parks and Rec as the shouting park ranger, which is my rap because
I'm okay, that's great.
So, but yeah, so that's all I've got. That's all, the only things we've been tuning into as far as the fall TV shows. So let's go super quick now, like 30 seconds apiece. Something to highlight that you got coming up for the site, Mac. You're on the clock. Go.
All right, I have the CW's remake of Beauty and the Beast. This is, you remember the 80s show with Vincent, the crazy lion man? This is the CW's version of it. So instead of a lion man, he's just this really good-looking guy. Because it's a CW, everyone has to be incredibly good-looking.
And that was Ron Perlman in the original, right?
Yes.
With Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, that's right. It was a big breakout role for him. But really, it's completely different from the 80s one. It's, you have to look at it like it's its own thing. And so it's like, okay, well, he gets superpowers when his adrenaline goes crazy. So he's kind of the Hulk, but he's kind of Batman. And Catherine is a cop, and so there's a sort of a procedural element to it. So it's a mishmash of all kinds of other things you've already seen. So I'm only a few episodes into it, so we'll see how it goes. But for right now, it's kind of like, I don't think you're missing much.
All right.
Sound like it.
Good. Daryl, 30 seconds, go.
All right, real quick, nothing that exciting. So I reviewed a comedy horror called Dead Before Dawn, made from Canada, that's got Martha McIsaac and Christopher Lloyd in it, that introduces the concept of the Zeman, half zombie, half demon.
I'm glad it was not half zombie, half seaman. Like a sailor.
It's spelled differently. Yeah. So, well, that wasn't a
I was thinking Zima. You went around thing.
Ahoy, I'm dead. Swap the deck. That's what they say, right?
Certain clubs, yes.
Certain.
When I looked at the cover and looked at the back, I thought, because this is not something I would ordinarily watch. I don't have any time for comedy horror. It looked awful. It's very cheesy, but I kind of respect what they did with it. So, mild recommendation on it.
All right. Eric, go. 30 seconds.
All right, go. This week I'm reviewing the 35th anniversary Blu-ray of Halloween, the John Carpenter classic. And it's funny because this movie obviously has come out so many times. I feel bad recommending people buy it for the umpteenth time, but it really is a great release. It's a new transfer that was overseen by the guy, by the DP. There's some cool new features. There's a commentary with Jamie Lee Curtis and John Carpenter, and a hour-long documentary covering Jamie Lee Curtis's only fan con appearance ever. It's pretty cool. So
nice,
done.
Very good, very succinct. For me, this is actually the review I need to get to when we hang up this podcast. But Arrow season one, CW DC Comics partnership. And I hadn't watched it at all when it aired because I was – this is just off of Smallville. So I was like, I don't really want to kind of do another Smallville type of thing. I don't really know the character that well because I was kind of expecting a tonal similarity, and it's totally different. It is more grown up. It is more gritty. Green Arrow is a killer. He leads a wake of arrow-pierced corpses. I mean, the man just slaughters people wholesale. He wages consistent war against the old white man cabal. That is his thing. But it's well done. It's pretty cool. My wife and I have been into it. There's some good stuff. You know, some DC folks that I haven't really had to do a little research on, but I get like the Huntress, right? I guess she's legit.
Oh, really?
And Deathstroke is in this one, so mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. He plays a pretty big role. And rumor has it the Flash is going to be in this episode, this coming season. But it's pretty well done. And again, the side stories aren't great, but everything Arrow. Around Arrow is great, and they do a lot of flashback to his time on the island where he became who he was. So, good show, recommended. Totally different from Smallville. And that's that. Okay, Mac, take us onwards.
All right, let's take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and you can follow along at home. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and then we'll scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for October 1st. There's actually quite a lot here.
they really make a Fright Night 2 remake?
Fright
Night
2.
But that's a remake of Fright Night 2.
Yeah. Unrated. That's Fright Night 2. Wow.
That's pathetic. And that I didn't even hear that it came out really doesn't bode well for that.
Can I just say they're not even trying anymore with the titles of fitness DVDs? I mean, butt lift. They're just not trying.
I don't know. It's just it is what it says.
That's true. I will give them points for being straightforward with us. But, yeah. Ooh, is Fast and Furious 6 coming out? Or is that?
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah.
Ooh, yes. I think as it's – yeah. So, like – pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
What do we got? We got Attack. Are these remakes of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
I think those are the sequels, aren't they?
I don't know. Well, it probably is.
According to this, it's a 2013.
Yeah, but I think looking at it, I think they are the originals. That doesn't make them better.
No.
Just... That would have been the most pathetic remake. I do think these are the originals, though.
Well, there is a lot of stuff here. My wife will be thrilled that The Little Mermaid is coming on Blu-ray. It is her favorite Disney movie.
Yeah. It actually is a good movie.
It's pretty good, and what's-her-face, Ursula, meets a pretty grisly end at the end.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome. Yes. I think only trumped by what's-his-face getting hung on a vine in Tarzan.
All right.
Clayton was his name.
My vote for saddest cover art goes to Volcano.
Oh, yes. He's very lightly jogging away from
that's
the water.
Right. He looks like he's 80 pounds with a giant head. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, boy.
Look at that. I mean, what's going on there?
That's just plainly terrible.
It looks like NBA Jam big head mode. I love his expression. He's very concerned about the Hollywood.
That's all. He's concerned about something in front of him.
I think so. It's like, is that a ticket on my parking ticket on my
bus
car?
Is leaving.
Oh, that's the it's the worst.
This is the end.
Yeah, this is the end. Which
Seth Rogen and all his buddies play themselves.
I heard a really surprisingly positive things about that. I really didn't think it was going to be worth anything.
It was okay. There was some laughs in it. Danny McBride steals the whole movie. He's really funny. Another release of Wizard of Oz, 75th anniversary edition on Blu-ray. It's a collector's edition with all kinds of collectibles in it.
And it comes with the 3D version.
No, does it? Does that really need to be in 3D?
I don't know. We'll have to wait till we read a review on DVD.
Right. How exciting will it be to see that dwarf hang himself in 3D, right, guys? tantalizingly close to – we got that double feature, that Van Damme double feature, but no Sudden Death yet. I know Sudden Death does exist on Blu-ray, but it's been a bear tracking it down. But
so this is a Sudden Death Watch week.
Sudden Death Watch week, yes. That's right.
What's the Van Damme double feature? I'm missing this.
This one's the Order and Nowhere to Run. I didn't see The Order.
And they are really – they're
great memory. I mean, that is great. I mean, how those got treatment before Sudden Death befuddles me.
You know, I mean, that's like – I don't know. That's like releasing some late-era Steven Seagal movie and never releasing Hard to Kill.
Well put.
It's a lyric from an Alanis Morissette song, isn't it?
Yes.
I take most of my lines from Alanis Morissette.
Okay, going once, going twice. Anything else? No.
Yellowstone 3D.
Oh, you made it. Yes. Oh, actually, Beetlejuice? I remember finding Beetlejuice the cartoon funny. Is that? Am I wrong?
Yeah. No. I think so. There was an episode or two that was on Beetlejuice the movie DVD that I reviewed way back when.
Okay.
It was fun. This is just a Halloween. Yes. Episode. They put out the complete series a little while back.
Nice. Okay, inadvertently, sleeps on DVDs of the week. Mac.
Let's see. How about Down Periscope?
Damn it! Oh,
wow.
I was going to have a great synergy with my semen joke, and I didn't. That's all I wanted. We all had Down Periscope.
I had it.
That was one of them. That was on my list.
I'm tempted just to move along and call Down Periscope the best one, but did we have backup?
We gotta play it out.
All right, Eric.
I guess I'll go with Fast and Furious 6.
All right.
I don't know. That's, gotcha. You know, that's the thing. People.
Daryl, what do you got?
I am going to go with the Monster Club.
I guess
sure,
so.
That's a place you might go
it
to.
It depends on how you say it.
It's a place you might go to get some Zeman.
Right. Yeah.
The End? Yeah, I'll go with The End. That's it. But I want it down Periscope.
Here, I'll play fair. My backups were Bob and the Monster.
That's pretty good.
That's actually pretty
and
good.
Bach.
Bach.
You can also go with The Big Bang Theory.
Well, The Big Parade is probably a pretty good one, too.
You can technically also go with How I Met Your Mother, you know, if you're, like, making fun of somebody.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the night belongs to Down Periscope.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's the winner. That's the winner.
Okay.
As it always does.
Okay.
That's the Seabiscuit of inadvertent 70.
We're going to zap through our ambush topics now because I still got a red review. So, Mac, kick us off.
All right. First topic, worms.
All right.
I'm going to go with Beetlejuice. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to go back to Beetlejuice, the actual movie. Where they have the sandworm that he's always trying to avoid.
I never did figure out the afterlife mythology that was Beetlejuice, to be honest. I'm not sure.
It's a little baffling.
Yeah, I'm not sure what creation myth that mythology that thing.
It's a Burtonism, I think.
Burtonism.
I am going with specifically the scene in David Lynch's Dune when Kyle MacLachlan is riding the sandworm, speaking of sandworms, riding the sandworm to the strains of Toto at the end.
Yes.
Wow.
Hey, riding the sandworm would be pretty good. If there was a movie called that, I think we'd have had more options.
Yeah.
For this. Oh,
man. Okay, all I got is a faint memory of watching How to Eat Fried Worms when I was little.
Yeah, sure. Based on the classic book.
Yes. So the 1973 book, I guess. And the same name by Thomas Ruckwell.
Was that the animated one, or was it?
I did not watch make it to the 2006 live action film.
Did that happen?
There's a 2006 live. I thought there was an animated film I remember watching. Like
it was like at the end. Like I don't know, it was like either 11 o'clock or noon on Saturday. Like whatever, like cartoons would be on would give way to this like hour long, like reading cartoon. I remember that's where they do adaptations of kids books. I remember them doing How to Eat Fried Worms.
All right.
And after that, it was just like bowling or whatever.
I'm gonna call that. That's what it was.
All right. For me, I'm back to one of my favorite villains from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was the worm guy. He was the door-to-door cosmetic salesman, and he would transform into just a big pile of worms and devour people. And he was only in the one episode. I always kept waiting for them to bring back the worm guy so he could be a recurring villain. And now the show made it to the end, and then they did Angel, and the worm guy never came back a second time. So.
Would you classify the mayor's ascension to be a worm demon of some sort? Was he more of a snake or something?
Yeah, I think it was more snake-like.
Okay.
Although I'd have to see it again, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Probably one of the better big bads, don't you think, in the whole series, the mayor?
He was pretty good because he was the kind that would speak the truth and he would speak honestly to people and, like, cut through the heroes, you know, bullcrap. That was really cool.
Plus, he was very positive. He was always upbeat, so...
Was that season three?
Three.
Yeah.
Okay, Daryl, go.
Unfortunate licensing agreements.
You might need to kick us off with your example.
Well, let me just give you a fake example.
Okay.
Like, let's say there were McDonald's did a Happy Meal with Suddenly Susan toys.
Okay. I suppose that could be anything doing anything with Suddenly Susan anything.
Yeah.
First off, I thought you said it was a fake example.
That's right.
I still have my Beanie Baby Suddenly Susan.
Yeah, you got your Brooke Shields glass cup with the original artwork.
Absolutely. Collect them all.
I once talked to a woman at a yard sale down from 50 cents to 25 cents for one of those Return of the Jedi collectible Burger King cups. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
I think I've got one somewhere.
That's a good haggling line part. Okay. So, but we're talking about real. These are real, unfortunate licensing agreements?
Yeah, I suppose.
So you're not even sure if this is real or not. We're just whatever we want.
Let's like, are you going to come up with some fake thing and we're going to work really hard to come up with something that's
real? No, I got a real one. It's awful.
You have a real one.
It's awful.
Okay.
Very, very specific ambush topic that was inspired by one possible answer that anyone could possibly.
I'm surrounded by all kinds of bizarre collectibles, so I should get this one.
Okay.
There was a lot of work done on Freddy Krueger to try to make him kid-friendly. And remember back in the late 80s, early 90s when everyone had those Garfield dolls stuck to the back windows of their cars, the little suction cups? They actually – no one remembers this?
Barely.
Yeah, I certainly remember this.
Sorry. It was a big fad. It was a little stuffed Garfield with suction cups, and you could stick them on the inside of your car and the back window. It looks like he's hanging onto your car.
Yeah. The car that I used to drive around in with my friend, his car, it was a 64 Nova all pimped out, hot stereo system, Garfield sticking on the outside.
Nice. So, yeah. Well, they made a Freddy Krueger. When in that same style.
Great.
There you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And so, yeah, Freddy would stick to the inside of your car and look out at the people driving behind you. But it was a little, like, round, chubby, cutesy Freddy Krueger, so, which kind of made it more terrifying.
All burned up.
I'm going to go to the well. We've gone to this one over and over again. But in 24, the white Ford Escape that they were pushing – that Jack Bauer has to drive in the dead of night in North Korea to get, you know, he gets rescued by a bright white Ford Escape. That makes zero sense, but they had to push that. So, yeah, that was, yeah, I jumped back. So, but we've talked about that one. That's the only one that occurs to me. How about, okay, and while you're thinking, how about Ecto Cooler? I know we all loved it. That was weird, right?
Or, it was in stores for ages, like years and years after the Ghostbusters cartoon had been canceled.
It's just an odd because
they kept making it.
And in a similar vein, do you remember the green slime shampoo from You Can't Do That on Television?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's and I remember it's like, it'll get you clean, it won't turn you green or something.
You steal it all Eric's choices.
Sorry, Eric. It just occurred to me.
That's fine. I'm kind of out on a limb here. How
hey,
about
trading cards?
What's that now?
Hey dude, trading cards.
Hey dude, trading cards.
That's something that might have existed.
actually, might have. I don't know that.
About how about we just was there any kind of like I don't know like Star Wars like edible underwear or something like that?
Yes,
there should have been.
And I'm wearing it now. So.
Sure, I'm sure there's like a Princess Leia themed.
Of course,
it's got to be.
It's got to be.
Maybe like unlicensed, but
those are the best kind. Unlicensed and underwear. Those are the best.
Off-brand, made up flavors. Sarlacc strawberry.
I like aftermarket.
All right, that's good enough.
Okay, go.
We'll call that good. Yeah, so mine is
a terrible topic. Go.
mine's a similar one to Max. In that it takes on old horror movie stuff, but I'm going with the Friday the 13th video game on the NES.
Impossible game, I believe.
An impossible game that featured an essentially dancing Jason while he tried to kill you, because it would go into like a Mike Tyson's punch out sort of deal when you were actually face to face with him. It was a side scrolling otherwise, but you'd go into this face to face deal like punch out, and he'd like dance around and stab you with his machete. And his mom, of course, the original killer in the first one, which, you know, this is coming after the second one, so it's not, or maybe the third one, so it's not that far removed. But Jason's mom is Medusa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, Medusa head, technically, no body. So
actually, when you said dancing, I thought of one.
There you go.
Going back to the well, indeed. I'm going to go with the Dracula ballet, Dave, that we saw. I'm not sure if that's copyright free at this point, but it's close enough.
I think I actually have that CD somewhere.
Not the CD.
No. Okay. Is it primarily
these two guys saw it live, Daryl? They saw it live.
Is it primarily Casio keyboard music?
Yeah. No. I used to work for a classical music. I used to do cataloging for a classical music book, and we'd get promos coming out of our ears, and that was one of the ones I picked up.
Dracula Ballet with a Bite.
That's not it. I guarantee you.
That is not it. It was called something else, but it was maybe equally bad.
Okay.
So, you know, and I just thought of another fake one that I would market if I could. Deadwood themed diapers.
Sure.
Swear engine diapers.
All right.
Okay, Eric, go.
All right, death by exotic animal. So again, okay. There's probably one answer, and I have it, but
that's okay. No, that's I got one actually.
Well, I take it. So. Okay,
this
good.
Might be a stretch. I'm gonna. Could it be the horns of an exotic animal?
Why not? Sure.
Because there's a little something. There's an episode of MacGyver where he was battling rhino poachers as he should, and as he was fighting the final bad guy, he threw him over a bridge, and the guy landed on a barge full of rhino horns.
Just all sticking straight up in the air.
Yep, and he was dead. Yeah, rhino stabbed to death by rhino horns. Yes. I remember there was a scene with a rhino with a missing horn. Very emotionally affecting.
I remember that, yes. Yeah. Oh. It left it alive.
All right, this is going to be my second David Lynch reference of the night, so there you go. The fake reason why John Merrick's mom was killed in The Elephant Man. I guess she wasn't killed. I guess she was just attacked by an elephant.
Which is why he became an elephant man.
Which is why he became the elephant man, yes. Sure.
All right. Very good.
Let's see here. There's so many with crocodiles and alligators. In Temple Eraser. Of Doom, was Eraser. It the alligators or was it the fall that killed him?
I think they were screaming while they were getting ripped apart by crocodiles.
Ah, that's right, yeah. In that one, the crocs were doing the death roll after they ate the guy. So you got to love the death roll.
And there's no eraser, obviously, right? Remember
eraser.
Giant CGI crocs.
There's also Romancing the Stone, and the guy catches the diamond and then gets his arm chopped off by the croc.
I think it's like set on fire, right? And he went out hard.
Can I throw out a backup as well?
Yes.
Well, maybe I should
do one. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, following Eric's.
Just in case. I recently saw Skyfall for the first time, and there's a scene where the guy gets wasted by a Komodo dragon.
That's a good one. Yeah, very right. Did James, did Bond, did he offer any? He must have offered a little smarmy one-liner, right?
I don't think so to that.
Was. He said something as he was walking away. What was it?
I can't remember. I did just watch it.
Yeah, he did say something.
I know there was a quip.
Something about nature. He should have said, look at that guy getting dragon away or something. I don't know. That was actually a terrible thing you would have said. All right, go, Daryl. Go.
All right, my other one is in Tobe Hooper's second movie. His follow-up to Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a movie that nobody likes, but I do, called Eaten Alive.
Ah, yes. It
features Neville Brand. Who's a hotel owner, and he's got a crocodile in a moat outside the hotel. And after he gets really mad, he throws a little girl's dog into the moat so that specifically it can get eaten by the crocodile in front of her.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Which is actually better than the one that I did, but that's why I have backups.
All right. Okay, so I guess I will wrap it up. Eric was regaling me of his exploits with Grand Theft Auto V, so take anything, movie, TV show, and turn it into an open-world game and sell us on it.
I'll go 24, the open-world game.
Oh, yeah, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
You fast travel constantly.
Yes, of course.
You drive from place to place. It takes way less time than it should, and there's no traffic.
A lot of phone conversations. A lot of phone mini-games.
Yep, every game you can take whatever car you want.
Yes,
they're all Ford Escapes or Hard Hunting Genesis. all of your communications are conducted through Cisco.
That's right. Well, nukes are going off left and right
constantly. That's basically one of your
There's a nuke driving minigamer just dodging.
And they're always setting up a perimeter, and then you get through the perimeter.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of torture. Just random torturing of bystanders. And if you drive far enough out of town, you get to fight a mountain lion.
That's true. That's right. That'd be excellent. I believe you're awarded the soul patch of honor if you 24 hours. Oh, you sold me. Sounds a lot better than that old PS2 24 game.
Did they do one?
They did one, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It almost convinced you to buy a PS2, and I think I was like, they're really expensive.
It's big game mechanic. Its innovation was the ability to kick open a door. Walk up the door, kick it open. That was the big selling point. No other game had ever done that before.
It seems odd that no other game would have ever done that before.
Well, that was their claim.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
There's one button. There's one button you press. It's just him saying, "Damn it."
Yes. It's like "Damn it."
The AES for pretty much. You can't jump or sprint, but you press A. No. Just says, "Damn it."
That's right.
Damn
it. He runs into there's a fence blocking his way. Triangle button. Damn it.
Sorry.
Square button. Yell at Chloe.
all right. I am going to go with Sledgehammer, the video game.
Okay.
Nice.
This is going to be like a cross between L.A. Noire and Saints Row.
Okay.
Where, it's open world. So you're driving around all over the place and – you have like a crime that you're trying to solve, but you can go around and randomly find crimes, and across the board you can bring them into interrogation scenarios where all you do is make jokes and beat the living crap out of them.
Nice. All right, Mac, what do you got?
Let's see. All right, how about the Arrested Development open world game?
Lots to do there.
You're
driving like 10 miles an hour, so it's
right,
in the stair car.
But you got to hit the brakes right away because there's a light coming up in half a mile.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have got to avoid all the hop-ons. Yes, yeah. You now have six hop-ons. Hop-on level red.
I've logged 80 hours at the banana stand.
<That's right>. Congratulations. And, you put your head down and you powered through.
So you could build a property with all your model homes.
Yes, that's right. That's
build bikes with Buster in your spare time.
That's right.
No brakes, though.
hey, you go swimming at the beach and like get your hand bitten off by a loose seal.
Yeah, yeah. You could do magic.
Oh yeah, there's
little like magic combinations, magic. like out of the Fight Night boxing games. Mm-hmm. You do like little combinations of stick movements, and bad magic tricks come out.
And can you survive the Love and Doodly Tunnel though?
Tunnel of Love and Doodly.
I could see you. Tobias is lost. Follow the blue smudges around the city to find him.
And it leads you to the Gothic castle.
Did any of you play the Simpsons game that came out
for the GameCube
5 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe it came out. I mean, I played it on 360, but it was like there's like a large open world Springfield section, and then it kind of went off in individual levels.
Right.
It was really good. Yeah. Anyway.
Good. Let's see. Well, for me, it is to me, I guess. I will I'm going to go with a groundbreaking new game that combines martial artistry, battling criminals, ninjas, drug kingpins, and the Dance Dance Revolution mechanic for the Miami Connection open world game.
Oh, nice.
So they just
– it's also you get Guitar Hero or Rock Band.
Yes, that's right.
You got to sing those songs.
Can you play Defeat the Ninja and get the house band out of work? You know, those kind of challenges. So then they stick ninjas on you. Absolutely. It's going to end on a real downer note, obviously, because there's a mission that you cannot win at the end where you have to get – the poor guy is going to go see his estranged father in the hospital before he bleeds out. And this is the director's cut of the game. You will not make it.
Marginally better than the Silver Dream Racer video game.
See, the Silver Dream Racer video game would be pretty awesome. A great companion piece to the Silver Dream Racer racing game.
Would the whole game be over in like a minute?
that'd be a downer. New for Kinect, Silver Dream Racer. Scan yourself in as the Silver Racer. Watch your body burn on the test. Okay. Boy, I love ending with Silver Dream Racer. We love it around here. So, and Eric, you did bear witness to Silver Dream Racer, correct?
No, I've never seen Silver Dream
Racer. Did I show it to you when you were here?
No, you didn't.
Mac, did I show it to you?
No.
You're a derelict. You didn't.
I am a derelict.
Yeah, my goodness.
Yeah, you didn't show it to
you
me.
You just dreamed it. Yeah.
Oh. But we love it in theory.
Maybe Staley. I must have shown it to Staley then.
That's, I think you did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Boy, I know what I'm going to get for Christmas. A bootlegged version of Silver Dream Racer.
Silver Dream Racer, yes. Good. Oh, look, a burned DVD from Dave.
That's right.
So glad I got him that PS4.
That's right. Oh, what's the CD?
That's already got a label on it?
SDR. What can that be? Yeah. Okay, so that's that. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Friday Filibuster. Mac, Eric, Daryl, once again, thank you. FridayFilibuster@DVDverdict.com is the email address. Mac, take us away.
Come and play with us, Danny.